Maseches Erchin, Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph, until Perek Ches, Mishnah Dalet. We saw throughout the last Perek that there are certain laws which apply to a steachuza. A steachuza essentially refers to a field or a piece of land which is being held by its permanent owner, as opposed to a steimikna, which is how we refer to a piece of land which has been sold to somebody else who is now considered to be the temporary owner until the Yovel year arrives. When the Yovel year arrives, once every 50 years, then the land would return to the permanent owner. That is the right which he has, given that it is his steachuza. An additional law regarding a steachuza is when he makes it hekdesh, if he designates that piece of land to the Beis HaMikdash. Then there are also a number of laws which apply specifically to a steachuza which had been designated to the Beis HaMikdash. Firstly, regarding redeeming it, the Torah sets a fixed value for the field of one seller and a pundioin per year remaining until the Yovel year. So if there are another 10 years until the Yovel year arrives, then one who redeems it would need to pay the Beis HaMikdash 10 seller and 10 pundioin. And that's regardless of the quality of the field and the real value that it will be sold for in the market. When it comes to redeeming a steimikna from the Beis HaMikdash, one needs to pay the fixed amount given by the Torah. This is unlike a steimikna, which would be a piece of land which had been designated to the Beis HaMikdash by somebody who was not the permanent owner. In such a case, they want to redeem it by paying its real value, how much it will be sold for, as a regular sale. A third difference between a steimikna and a steachuza is what happens to the field if the person who designated it to the Beis HaMikdash had not redeemed it once the Yovel arrived. If he didn't redeem it by the time Yovel arrived, then it would be given to the Kohanim, who happened to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash during the beginning of the Yovel year. And this, once again, only applies to a steachuza as opposed to a steimikna. And even if it was redeemed by somebody else, if it wasn't redeemed by the owner himself, then it would also go to the Kohanim when Yovel arrives. Those are the three main differences, practically speaking, between a steachuza and a steimikna. Firstly, the fact that he has permanent ownership, and when the Yovel arrives, if he had sold the field, then it goes back to the permanent owner. Secondly, when redeeming it, there is a fixed price given by the Torah. And thirdly, if it was not redeemed by the owner himself, then when Yovel arrives, it would be given to the Kohanim. This parak begins to discuss what happens when Yovel doesn't actually apply. It's learned from Pesukim that the whole concept of Yovel only exists when the entire Jewish people are situated in Eretz Yisrael. Now, that doesn't mean that every single last Jew has to be inside of Eretz Yisrael, but if there is a particular tribe which has been exiled, for example, from Eretz Yisrael, that is the point that the Yovel stopped being in existence. Or if the minority of the Jewish people are in Eretz Yisrael, as long as you have the majority and there are no tribes who have actually been exiled and cannot be there, then Yovel would apply. But nowadays, for example, Yovel does not apply. And together with the ending of Yovel comes the ending of all of the laws of steachuza. There's no longer any permanent owner, because when Yovel arrives, it won't go back to him. So if he sells a field, he's now selling it forever, effectively. Hamakdish es sodei b'shosh eino Yovel. If somebody designates his field, which was really a steachuza, for example, let's say he was a descendant of the one who received that portion of the land when Eretz Yisrael was conquered, and he now designates that field to the Beis HaMikdash b'shosh eino Yovel at a time that Yovel does not apply. Now, to redeem it, one would pay market value. And how do we do that? Via a process of auctioning and different people bidding different prices that they are willing to pay the Beis HaMikdash in order to become the owner of this field. Now, the Mishnah tells us that Oimloi, we tell the owner of the field who had designated it to the Beis HaMikdash, Pesach Ator Rishain, you should be the first one to open up with the opening bid. And the reason why we tell him to offer the first price is Shehabayim Noisen Choymesh V'Kol Olam Einu Noisen Choymesh. The owner, who is the one who actually designated it to the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah requires that he add on a fifth to the price that he is redeeming it for. When we say a fifth, it actually means a quarter, as we have explained earlier on in the Masechta. One quarter is essentially a fifth of one and a quarter. So once you add the quarter onto the whole, so a quarter is the same as a fifth, that's why the Mishnah refers to it as a fifth. Be as it may, when the Mishnah refers to a chomesh, a fifth, it generally refers to actually a quarter. Now, the Torah requires that he add on this chomesh, this quarter. So if the price that he sets is 20 and somebody else sets a price of 20, The other person would only have to actually pay 20 to the Beis HaMikdash, but he would be required to pay 25. An additional 5, which is a quarter of 20. And that's why precedence is given to him to be the one to redeem the field. There was a story which occurred with somebody who designated his field to the Beis HaMikdash because of its bad quality. It cost too much to keep it going in relation to the amount that it produced, and therefore he wanted to give it over to somebody else. He couldn't find anybody to buy it, so he decided he was going to designate it to the Beis HaMikdash and hope that somebody else would be willing to redeem it by paying its value to the Beis HaMikdash. Omuloi, so the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash, those who were responsible for auctioning off this piece of land, they told this person, Psach Atorishoin, you need to make the first bid. You need to be the first one to set a price, and we'll take it from there. So Omar, he said, Harehi Shalib Isar. It's going to be mine, and I'll pay for it 1 isar, which is a very small amount of money. Omar Abiyasi, this next part of the mission is sort of in parentheses. Omar Abiyasi, Abiyasi said, Le Omar Zela Bekabitza. In terms of the details of the story, this person didn't say he's going to redeem it for an isar, which is a certain type of coin, but he said he's going to redeem it with an egg. And he's able to do that because the law is that Shehekdesh Nifta Bekesef V'Shova Kesef, something belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, can be redeemed either with actual money or with anything which is worth money. Either way, this is just a small detail which they argue about in the details of the story. Now, either way, nobody else wanted to redeem the field instead of him, and therefore, on my loy, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash told him, Higiascha, the field has arrived at you. You're the one who gets the privilege, or more like a responsibility over here, to redeem the field for the amount that you set, and Nimtza Mafsid Isar v'Sadeh Ulefanov. It emerges that this person lost an Isar, that's the amount they had to pay to the Beis HaMikdash, and he didn't even manage to get rid of his field. His field is still in front of him, and he's the one who has to deal with it, and he didn't really manage to solve his problem. Mishnah Beis. Omar Echad, if somebody said in the process of the auctioning and the bidding, Harehi Shalib Eser Seloim, it's going to be mine, I'm going to pay in order to redeem it 10 Sela coins. And then, Ve'echad Omer Be'esrim, another person gave a higher bid, he said I'm going to pay 20 to redeem it. Ve'echad Omer Be'shleishim, another person said 30. Ve'echad Omer Be'arboim, another person said he's going to pay 40 Sela. And another person said he's going to pay 50 sela in order to redeem it. Although in most cases of bidding, if somebody just says that he's going to buy something, that doesn't actually obligate him on a monetary level to go ahead with the sale. And nothing actually took place over here. He gave his word. And he cannot really go back on his word, but nobody can force him to go ahead with the sale. However, when it comes to designating something to Hekdesh or to paying money towards the Beis HaMikdash, then from mere declarations and statements that one is going to pay money or designate something to the Beis HaMikdash, that is enough to actually make that sale, make that designation take effect immediately. And it does obligate him to go ahead with it. And because of that, Chozar Beishol Chamishim, if the one who gave a bid of 50 sela retracted from his bid, if he does that, then Hekdesh will only end up receiving 40 sela from that was the next highest bid. And because he already made that declaration, he hasn't got the right to cause that loss to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, Mashkenin min Chosavad Eser, we would take from his property up to a value of 10 Sela, so that he does not cause any loss to Hekdesh after he made that statement that he's going to add on 10 to the next bid. He would have paid 50, so he's able to retract from the 40 because there's somebody else to replace him, but from the 10, he would be responsible to provide that towards the Beis HaMikdash. Chozar Beishol Arboim, what happens if the one who gave a bid of 40, he then also retracted, Mamashkin min Chozvad Eser, we would also take from his property up to a sum of 10 Sela. That's the difference between 40 and the next highest bid of 30. Chozar Beishol Shleishim, what happens if the one who gave a bid of 30, he then also retracted, Mamashkin min Chozvad Eser, we would also take from his property up to 10 Sela. Chozar Beishol Esrim, if the one who gave a bid of 20 also retracted after that, Mamashkin min Chozvad Eser, we would take from his property up to a sum of 10 Sela. What happens if then the last person who gave the lowest bid, he also retracted, Chozar Beishol Eser, if the one who gave a bid of 10 also retracted? So now we would look for somebody else who's willing to buy it, and if we find somebody who's willing to buy it, then Merchanoso B'Shavya, we would sell it to him for its value, which means the value that somebody is willing to pay for it. And we would collect from the one who gave a bid of 10, the one who offered that bid, we would collect from him any difference between 10 and the amount that was actually given. Again, because his declaration obligates him to make sure that Hektesh gets that amount of money. Now, the Mishnah ends off by elaborating on that which was stated really in the previous Mishnah. Habaylim oimim be'estrim, if the owner, the one who had designated the piece of land to the Beis HaMikdosh, if he says that he's willing to pay 20 selah in order to redeem the piece of land, v'chol odom oimim be'estrim, and any other person also says that he's willing to pay 20, habaylim koidmim, the owner who had designated it to the Beis HaMikdosh, has precedence, and we would give it to him to redeem, because they need to add on a fifth. So they would end up actually adding on an additional 5 selah, such that the Beis HaMikdosh would gain more money, and therefore he is the one who would redeem it. Mishnah Gimel, Omar Echad, if somebody said, somebody who is not the owner of the field, who would have to add on a fifth, Harihi Shaliba Esen Ba'achas, the field will be for me for a sum of 21 selah. And we're talking about a case, throughout this Mishnah, we're talking about a case where the owner himself gave a bid of 20. He opened up the bidding process, he said, I'm going to give 20, and somebody else said, I'm going to give 21. We now run into a slight problem, because the actual bid of this other person is a higher price than the bid of the owner. And therefore, it wouldn't be right to allow the owner to be the one to redeem it, because he will be giving a smaller price for redeeming the field. On the other hand, the owner himself has to add on a fifth to that which he said. So he would end up having to pay 25. And the Beis HaMikdosh would end up receiving more. However, that extra fifth that he is giving is not really part of the actual redemption price that he's paying for the field itself, to buy the field and to stop it having the holiness of that which belongs to the Beis HaMikdosh. Rather, the Torah obligates him to add on an additional fifth, a sort of additional donation even, when he does redeem it, but we cannot allow him to pay a smaller redemption price itself for the actual redeeming of the field. So what can be done in such a situation? Whoever we give it to, it's considered in a certain sense to be causing a loss to Hekdesh, either in terms of the actual final sum that Hekdesh will receive, or in terms of the sum which Hekdesh will receive for redeeming the field itself. So the Mishnah gives an interesting ruling that Habalim Noisim Esim Vashesh, the owner is forced to pay 26 selah. His own bid would have obligated him to pay 25, 20 plus a fifth. But he has to add on an additional selah corresponding to that additional selah which the other person had bid more than him. Now, although he has to add on this extra selah, he does not need to add on a fifth for that extra selah which he's giving. Since the only reason that he has to give that extra selah is just so that it doesn't appear that we are giving it to him for a lower price than somebody else would have given for it. But since that other person himself wouldn't have had to give a fifth, so this person also doesn't have to give a fifth, corresponding to this added amount of one selah. For the 20 selah which he himself bid, he would need to add on a fifth. Be'esem Ushtayim, if somebody else said he's going to give 22, that was his bid, then Abayim Noisim Esem Vosheva, the owner would be forced to pay 27, 25 because of his own bid, plus 2 selah, corresponding to the 2 selah which the other person had bid more than him. Be'esem v'sholesh, if somebody else offered a bid of 23, then abayim nosen esem v'shmoyne, the owner would have to give 28 selah, 25 plus the additional 3. Be'esem v'arba, if the other person said he's going to give 24, habayim nosen esem v'seisha, the owner would have to pay 29, 25 plus 4. Be'esim v'chomesh, if somebody else said he's going to give a bid of 25, so if you read the Mishnah's case simply, then in this case, there's not really any issue. The owner should not be forced to add on to the other person, because the other person is also going to pay 25. So if we take the 25 from the other person, there's not going to be any loss to the Beis HaMikdosh, because his actual bidding price is no less than the full sum which the owner is supposed to pay for his bid of 20 plus a fifth, which is also going to be 25. But the Gemara explains that the case of the Mishnah is where the owner didn't give a bid of 20 to begin with, but rather 20 plus a pruta. 20 selah and a pruta. A pruta is a small addition, but at the end of the day, if you add on a fifth to that which he said, it's going to be more than 25. And therefore, we have no right just to take 25 from the other person, And so, Abalim Leison Shloshim, the owner would need to give 30 sela in order to redeem it. The truth is, it would be slightly more than 30. It would be 30 plus a fifth of a pruta. Just the Mishnah is not counting the smaller amounts of money over here. And again, the way we get to 30 is because his bid was 20. He has to add on a fifth, 25, plus five slotim, because that was the difference between his bid and the other person's bid. The truth is, it would actually be slightly less than 30, because you would minus off a pruta, because the additional amount which the other person was going to pay more than his amount was 5 minus a pruta. 25 minus a 20 plus a pruta. Because of me, the point of the Mishnah is it would be roughly 30 that he would need to pay. And the Mishnah explains, he does not need to add on a fifth to the extra amount which he's paying, just so that the bidding price itself won't be less than the other person's bidding price, like we explained. Now, the next case of the Mishnah is pretty much just an additional example of what we've seen until now as well. And the Gemara explains we're talking about a case where the owner offered a bid of 21. Not 20, but 21. Sela. And Omar Echod, another person said, Hari Hishalib Esen Vashesh, I'm going to redeem it for 26 Sela. Now, a quarter of a Sela is 1 dinar. So if his original bid was 21, so an extra chaymesh, adding on a quarter, would require him to give 26 plus a dinar. Now, since the other person said he's going to give 26 sela, that's 5 more than his bid. So he has to add on 5 sela. If the owner wanted to give a donation of 31 sela plus a dinar, then Habayim Koidmim, the owner, would take precedence, and he's obligated to pay that amount. That's the way the Gemara explains it, not so that if he wants to, but he's actually obligated to do so. Vim Lav, if not, the way the Gemara explains this is if he does not offer a bid of 21, but rather he offers a bid of 20, so now that the other person said he's going to give 26, there's now no problem at all to allow the other person to pay and redeem the field. There's not going to be any loss to Hekdesh, since even if you add on the fifth to the owner's offer of his bid, you'd end up with 25, and the other person is willing to give 26, so certainly we would give it to him to redeem, and Oimrim, we would say to the other person who offered a bid of 26, Higi Ascha, the field has arrived at you, and you have won the auction. Mishnah Dalet, the remaining part of this perek talks about a new type of designation towards the Beis HaMikdash, called a Cheirem. Now the truth is, there are two types of Cheirem, which are provided by the Torah. One is just another form, really you're just using another language almost, to designate something to the Beis HaMikdash. If I say that this thing is going to go to Cheirem Bedek HaBayis, what that means is you're donating it to the Beis HaMikdash for it to be sold and its value to be used to upkeep the Beis HaMikdash's needs. The second type of Cheirem introduced by the Torah is called Cheirem Koyanim. And if somebody says, I'm designating this to be for Cheirem Koyanim, then it's considered to have holiness as long as it's still with the owner. But he's obligated to give it to Koyanim, and once it's given to a Koyain, then it no longer has any sanctity to it, and the Koyain can use it just as regular property. The Mishnah is going to open up with a law which is learnt from the language used by the Torah when talking about a Cheirem. And that is, Machrim Odom Mitzoynoi Umibakorai. One can make a part of his flock of sheep or cattle, cows, bulls, he can make part of them into a Cheirem. And the Mishnah is discussing Cheirem Koyanim, if somebody designates it to be given to Koyanim. And it's learned from Psukim that given whatever category it is, for example, animals, sheep and cows, they would all be in one category of animals. One cannot make all of his animals into a Cheirem to be given to Koyanim, but only some of them. So as long as he leaves even just one animal, he would be able to do it. And likewise, his non-Jewish male or female slaves, who are considered to be his possessions, or his field, which he is the permanent owner over, he can only make all these things into Cheirem if he does part of it. But if he made all of them into a Cheirem for Koyanim, all of that particular thing which is in a category, they don't become Cheirem at all. It doesn't even work, but he evid once it's been done. Divi Rabbi Elazar, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, who holds that not only is it forbidden to do so, but it doesn't even work. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria added, Moim la'govoya inom adom rasha lehachmes kol mechosov, if even to a something which has a high purpose, something which gains sanctity, one has not got permission to make all of his property, all of his possessions, or even of a particular category of possessions, into a cheirem. All the more so, one is obligated to have pity on his possessions, and not to just give them away totally freely. One can't give all of his money away for charity, even. And all the more so for unimportant and mundane purposes.